Welcome to another Vancouver Island Music Fest podcast. I'm Dan McLennan, and this is Cousin Harley.
I am the lead guitar player and singer for Cousin Harley, and I am joined with the great background duet of Jesse Cahill on the drums and Mr. Keith Pico on the upright bass.
Cousin Harley, can you take us back to the germination? Where on earth did that come from?
Well, Cousin Harley was a name that I was given when I was playing in a band in Victoria with Carolyn Mark. She monikered me Cousin Harley when I joined the band The Fixins, and that kind of just stuck with me. I needed an alter ego because I already had a swing band and I was doing lots of solo work as well. And I needed something that was specifically geared towards the rockabilly hot rod music that I wanted to do. And I didn't want to muddy the water with, like, are you going to see Paul Pigat? Well, what's Paul Pigat going to do? So, you know, Cousin Harley was just a way of separating that.
Now, what is it that drew you to that rockabilly sound?
I think that the stuff I really, like the way I approach rockabilly is a little different than some. I'm by no means a purist, and I like the attitude and the idea that rockabilly is a combination of country and blues and jazz and swing music, and it's really a catch-all for a lot of music that I like. So it's one of the few art forms that you can sort of really genre slam all through it.
We started listening to this podcast with a track called Noodlin', which is from your Hillbilly Madness album, featuring, I have to say, some wickedly fast finger work. I'm hearing shades of Les Paul. Am I off base there?
No, that's very true. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of Les Paul in that tune. And I actually wrote that song at the Quinsome Hotel in Campbell River. And it's the main idea of that tune is that there's a certain technique called cross string technique, and I wrote that entire song based on cross string technique, and it does have some Les Paul, some Jimmy Bryant, some Jimmy Rivers ideas in it, and those were, you know, and still are some of my favorite guitar players of all times.
Okay, I have to bite on this one. The Quinsome Hotel has been known to bring out a lot of things and a lot of people, but I didn't know it could bring out that. How did it inspire you into such a wickedly fast piece?
Well, I used to play the Quinsome about 4 or 5 times a year, and when I was living in Victoria, I'd come up for a week, and, you know, when you're in the same place for a week, you eventually, you know, you run out of things to do. You can't live in the bar, or else you won't be doing what I do for a living for very long. So you just have a tendency to write a lot. And there was a young guitar player who now lives in Vancouver. His name is Beaver. And he showed up and jammed with me one day, and he had this great cross-string riff. And it kind of just inspired me to write an entire tune on that technique.
Now, you mentioned Les Paul. You mentioned some others. Who were you listening to, I guess we would say, in your younger days, who had a real impact on you?
Well, as a young man, probably, you know, Angus and Malcolm Young. You know, I was a rocker as a young kid, and I played all around Toronto, playing rock and blues. So I was listening to a lot of B.B. King. I was listening to Johnny Winter. I was listening to Muddy Waters, and then I'd also be listening to Hank Williams, and I'd listen to Patsy Cline, because there was lots of country gigs I was doing at the same time, and basically everything that everything I could get my hands on, I was listening to. So my brother had a great record collection, so I went through his record collection, which was primarily very late 60s into the 70s punk scene, and then I was out playing the scene, so I'd be playing with people that were considerably older than me, and I'd be listening to their, they'd give me mixtapes of stuff to learn, and I got exposed to all kinds of great music there.
Your latest Cousin Harley album is Bahicky Bop. Where does that name come from?
It's completely fictional. I was sitting around and I thought I wanted to call it something bop, because that's kind of a classic rockabilly, Western swing, beginnings of rock and roll kind of word that you would use. And I was just sitting around and I thought, Bahicky. Yeah, it doesn't have to mean anything. I just wanted to do something completely fictional.
Tell me about that track, Dreaming of You. After listening to Noodlin', Dreaming of You is certainly far more laid back than some of that hard-driving sound of yours.
Yeah, Dreaming of You, I sort of have had that song in my head for years. It's just sort of a melody that's floated around my brain for a long time, because I do like doing the really mellow stuff as well. Like I love Chet Baker and stuff like that. And although this doesn't sound like a Chet Baker tune, it does have kind of that dreamy, almost 4 o'clock in the morning. The gig's done. You're exhausted. And you're just there strictly for the music. And that was one tune I was probably most happy with on the record is that one, because I got to do stuff that we don't normally do. Like, we can't really do that if we're playing a big festival stage, but it's great to just sort of put on late at night.
So this latest album, Bahicky Bop, is all instrumental. That's an interesting choice to make. What sort of thought process goes into that decision? Some people would consider that limiting, others would not.
It is actually quite limiting because a lot of people do identify with the lyric and the vocal line. But I'm a guitar player, and that's, you know, although I'm a singer as well, I've always been a guitar player, and guitar music to me is something I hold dear, and I've always included some instrumental tracks on the record, but I've always wanted to do just a whole instrumental record, and in all honesty, I think I did it just for me, and it was something I needed to get out.
So what can you tell us about the title track?
The Hickey Bop. I think I wrote that one for Keith, our bass player, because Keith really likes the sort of crossover. Well, he's a huge trad jazz fan, and he really likes the crossover Western swing kind of vibe. So I wrote that one with him in mind, and I certainly took some ideas from Les Paul in that one. And way buried in the background, there's even some Ventures-y kind of surf ideas that I've used to sort of just fill things out and just create pads of sound that you may not necessarily be able to hear distinctly, but they're there and they just kind of wash out the whole song.
Have a lot of interests on the go at any given time is the impression I get. Cousin Harley is only one of them. You also have a jazz trio. You also do the wonderful term Boxcar Campfire, which we'll have to talk more about. It sounds as though you're going off in many directions at many times. Is it the case that one genre here just isn't enough?
Yeah, I've always played a lot of different styles, ever since I was a kid. You know, as I said, I was listening to metal at home, I was playing country gigs, I was playing blues gigs, and that's where I really find the interest. Like, I love getting to know something very, very well, but I also love variation a lot. So I'm constantly finding new projects to do, I'm collaborating with other people, I'm touring with other bands, with other artists all the time, and it keeps everything fresh, and every time you learn something new, you can adapt it to your voice, and it just adds another element to it.
Let's go to the Hillbilly Madness album, and one of my favorite tracks is called My Babe.
Not to be confused with Little Walter's My Babe.
What can you tell us about your My Babe?
That's a straight-up rocker. That's straight-up, that's as close as I can get to what would be, I guess, considered neo-billy for the purists out there that like to categorize it. It's sort of traditional rockabilly, but it's a little more revved up. It's certainly a little bit more on top and a little bit more aggressive, but it's a classic rockabilly kind of sound.
Well, my babe, she likes to give me a shake. My babe, she likes to hesitate. My babe, she likes to rock a while. She likes the rockin' style, so let's rock, rock it up and down the line. My baby loves to rock, and she's mine, all mine. Well, my babe's the hottest little thing in town. My babe, she don't like messing around. My baby, she's got looks to kill. Oh, my baby, she don't like standing still, so let's rock. We'll be right back. mine is a ghost. Oh, my baby says she loves me the most. So let's rock it, rock it up and down the line. Yeah, my baby loves to rock and she is mine, all mine. Got hair white as a ghost. But my baby says she loves me the most. So let's rock it, rock it up and down the line. Yeah, my baby loves to rock it, she's mine, all mine. Yeah, my baby loves to rock it, she's mine, all mine.
Now, you're kind of known for, not in terms of guitars, not only the Gretsch, but some Telecaster sound. Can you take me all the way back? What was your first guitar?
Well, my first real guitar, because I think my first guitar I ever got was a classical guitar that had action that was about an inch and a half off the fretboard, and it was pretty unplayable. Although I was bound and determined to play it, so I played it for about 6 months or so. But my first real guitar was a 1980 Fender Bullet, which my mother bought me at a music store in Toronto, brand new, and I owned it for quite a few years. I still know where it is. It belongs to a family friend, and since then I've owned a couple more because they're just great guitars. They're one of the last made in America Fender budget guitars, and it did everything you could ever want. It was basically a Telecaster.
A lot of people have been introduced to music through a number of different instruments. Certainly, there's legions of us out there who took piano lessons in our youth and so forth. What was it that took you to the guitar as opposed to another instrument?
Well, I actually started playing stand-up bass was my first instrument. When I got into junior high school, I guess at about 10 or so, that was my first experience in having a music class. And the first day, the teachers asked what we would want to play, and I said, I want to play the big thing in the corner. So I played that, and I continued to play that all through high school as well. But the reason I switched over to guitar as my main instrument is I took the bass home one day from the school, and I had to take a bus, and I just thought, this thing is way too big for me to cart around. There's got to be something smaller. So I grabbed the guitar.
It was Steve Martin who said it's impossible to play a sad song on a banjo. We know that's not entirely true, but I found myself listening to the energy and the pace of some of your music, and the thought occurred to me, gee, is it possible to play a sad rockabilly song?
There certainly are a few of them. I don't do many of them, but there are.
Let's hear a track from the album Jukin, Hot Little Baby. What can you tell us about that one?
That's another full-on rocker. I wrote that quite a long time ago. That would have been probably in the late 90s I wrote that tune. And I just wanted an avenue of a real fast train beat. And I think someone once said to me, because I was writing all these really sort of depressing songs, and I thought, I'm going to do a real positive little number about a hot gal and kind of a classic, subject line for a rockabilly song, but I wanted it to be full paced that I could sort of blast at all the James Burton riffs I'd learned.
We'll be right back.
Now, we mentioned Boxcar Campfire earlier. For the curious at heart, what is Boxcar Campfire music?
Boxcar Campfire music is the other side of my writing. So it's the sort of little darker, more introspective side. It's primarily acoustic, although the record does have a lot of electric instruments on it. But when I perform it primarily acoustic, and it's my foray into singer songwriter music.
And you're also you've got the jazz trio as well. Lots of different directions, quite a range of music. That takes us to Rigby's Romp. Can you explain the process that went into that one?
Sure. Rigby's Romp is based on a riff. So the chord section is called Rhythm Changes, which is a classic kind of jazz format. You know, like a 12-bar blues would be a great blues format. And the riff is a circular riff where the tail end of one riff will now catch the next one, and eventually it will bring you back to the first one. So it's like a figure eight almost. And it was something I was working on as an exercise for myself, and I eventually sort of just put it into a tune. And Rigby is my guitar duet partner, Paul Rigby, and I wrote it for him. This would be my third or fourth time to the Vancouver Island Music Fest. You know, I spent a lot of time on Vancouver Island. I moved there in '94, and Doug Cox and I go back to, you know, almost that time. You know, we've known each other and been friends for a long time, and every time we play the Music Fest, it's always a great turnout, and we've had some fantastic shows. And I still get people who come up to me, you know, all over Canada, says, "I saw you at the Vancouver Island Music Festival." So, you know, it's just another homecoming. I really like playing there.
Well, let's take it home with one of my favorites, the title track from It's a Sin. Can you set that one up for us?
Yeah, It's a Sin. That's, I guess, what you would call a pop song. my best interpretation of a pop song.
Let's just clear the air, 'cause this foolishness ain't fair. And I've got nothing to prove, and you've got nothing to lose. And there ain't no reason why to let it all pass you by, 'cause there will come a day when it's all.
That's Paul Pigott and Cousin Harley, who'll be bringing their unique and versatile combination of rockabilly, swing, blues, and jazz back to the Vancouver Island Music Fest this summer. This is one guitarist you don't want to miss. And that wraps up another Vancouver Island Music Fest podcast. I'm Dan McLennan. My thanks to Paul Pigott for sharing some of his wide range of musical styles. And thanks to Juno Award winner Helen Austin and Grandpa Todd Butler for taking us home.
We can sit together and watch the show. Oh, in any weather, we'll watch the show here at Vancouver Island Music Fest. Here at Vancouver Island Music Fest. Here at Vancouver Island Music Fest.